Is there a cover-up at NASA and other space agencies concerning an asteroid that's on a collision course with Earth right now? What would impact with an asteroid that some are calling a planet killer mean for the human race? Could this catastrophic event have been foretold in the ancient book of Revelation? All that and more today on Skywatch TV, but first, watch this.
Hidden deep within ancient scriptures, it is written that in the beginning, the ultimate agent of chaos was already restrained by the Creator. As creation flourished, this force of destruction remained subdued, waiting for his time of freedom. Humanity kept record of this malevolent spirit in order to warn future generations. These ancient prophecies foretell a messenger will precede the release of the great evil, known to the Hebrews as Leviathan, but to the Egyptians as Apophis.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. Today we begin a special investigative series on the exciting new groundbreaking documentary film by Josh Peck called Ragnarok, Humanity's Last Stand. There exists an ancient prophecy about a great burning mountain that falls from the sky, bringing devastation to the world. Are we about to see this destroying force enter the Earth's atmosphere? If so, is there anything that we can do about it? The producers of the astonishing new film Ragnarok are here today to help answer that question. But before they do, watch this.
So my name's Jeff Zwerink. I'm an astrophysicist by training, which basically just means I do physics with a telescope. And a physicist is interested in learning how the world works, and so I get to go out and study how the heavens work.
Finally, the headline on the Forbes website is scary. It reads, Doomsday Asteroid Bigger Than Expected. They're talking about a football field size asteroid called 99942 Apophis. And while it's going to pass by us tonight, and it's okay to make plans for tomorrow, when it comes back in the year 2029, it will pass so close, just over 30,000 miles, it's going to be visible in broad daylight.
Well, this was a discovery back in 2004. Some astronomers down at Kitt Peak National Observatory down in Arizona were observing the sky, and they found this object. There's ways you can find asteroids and comets because they move a little bit, and so they were using techniques and found this asteroid. They found it over a couple of nights. They found another observation not too much longer. And so that gave them an initial trajectory and found that in 2029, there was a reasonable chance that it was actually going to collide with the Earth.
Asteroids are remnants of the stuff, the rocks and all, that form the planets in our solar system. I'm Dr. Mike Strauss. I'm a professor of physics at the University of Oklahoma. My field of specialty is experimental particle physics. So the goal of experimental particle physics is to understand the fundamental structure of the universe. What are the smallest building blocks that make up the universe? I currently do my research at a laboratory near Geneva, Switzerland called CERN, where we accelerate protons to nearly the speed of light, we smash them together, and we look at the debris that comes out from that collision. And the debris tells us about the structure of the universe. As the planets like Venus and Earth and Mars form, there was some leftover stuff, primarily between Mars and Jupiter, that wasn't enough material to actually form a planet. And these are the asteroids. Most of them are in a belt in an orbit between Mars and Jupiter.
what happened there is there's this giant gas cloud that for whatever reason started to collapse and condense, and as it does, the very center part accumulates and becomes the sun that's got a lot of hydrogen and helium in it. It eventually ignites nuclear fusion, starts glowing and giving off heat. There's also a lot of materials orbiting around this, and those will all collapse down to a disk. They'll accumulate into larger and larger objects through various processes. And eventually, as some objects get large enough, they start gravitationally attracting the remaining debris that's left in the solar system. It clears out most of the debris in the solar system, but not all of it. And so the stuff that tends to form closer to the sun is going to make asteroids. Those are going to be more rocky bodies. The stuff that forms further out in the solar system, kind of out by Jupiter and further, that's going to have a lot more ice, and so those are going to be comets. And that's really kind of the key distinguisher between a comet and an asteroid, is that an asteroid has a lot more rocky material, a comet has a lot more ice material.
They're different than meteoroids in that meteoroids are just smaller asteroids. Anything less than about a meter is called a meteoroid, and anything larger than about a meter, up to maybe 100 kilometers in size, is called an asteroid. They're different than comets. Comets are not made of rocks and metals. They're actually made of dust and ice. And this is why a comet has a tail. As it gets near the sun, that dust and ice gets burned off by the heat of the sun, and you see it flowing out from the comet, and you get the tail. When meteoroids or asteroids come into the atmosphere of the Earth, they will begin to burn up, and that's what we see as shooting stars. Those are called meteors. And if they actually hit the Earth, they're called meteorites. So depending on their size and where they are, we give them all these different names.
The Tunguska event of June 30, 1908, was a blast theorized to have been caused by an asteroid, estimated at approximately 50 to 100 meters in diameter, much smaller than the Apophis asteroid that is scheduled for a near flyby or impact on Friday, April 13, 2029. The Tunguska object collided with our planet, landing in Siberia. The impact was so dramatic that 2,000 square kilometers of the Taiga forest was destroyed, flattening about 80 million trees. Reports included accounts of the blast being felt by those in the closest city over 35 miles away from the point of impact. In fact, the residents of the town, despite the distance from the impression, were able to feel the heat, were knocked off their feet, and even had windows bust as a result of the fallout. The blast was later said to have created 185 times more energy than the Hiroshima atomic bomb, with seismic rubbles observed as far away as the United Kingdom. Thankfully, the location of the blast was a remote area, which is likely why, despite the fact that there were hundreds of reindeer reduced to charred carcasses, there was still no reports of human casualty as a result of the impact. An eyewitness to the event described, quote, "The sky was split in two, and high above the forest, the whole northern part of the sky appeared covered with fire," end quote. That sight was apparently followed by loud noises that sounded like guns firing. Furthermore, the nearby Lake Chico is theorized to have been created as a byproduct of the event. According to Luca Gasparina of the University of Bologna in Italy, quote, the lake, was formed after the impact, not from the main Tunguska body, but of a fragment of the asteroid that was preserved by the explosion, end quote. Now, his theory maintains that the soft, swampy earth allowed a large meteoric fragment, which originally landed on the surface of the earth, to sink, creating a hole which morphed into the modern-day Chico. Now, what would have happened if such a meteor had struck the earth in a highly populated location? Or worse, if the hurling rock had been much larger?
You know, so astronomers really are interested in finding as many of these asteroids and comets, things that might impact the Earth. But again, in our near-Earth object search, we're looking for 90% of all objects above a kilometer, 90% of all objects above 140 meters, which means there's 10% of the stuff that we're finding that we're not going to find, and anything smaller than 140 meters, which is something on the scale of what knocked down all the trees in Russia, the Tunguska event. In more recent memory, we had the Chelyabinsk meteor that came in and flashed through the air. That was something on the order of 20 meters. So even in our best efforts outside of a lot of serendipity, we're not going to find those sorts of events.
In any science, the precision of the predictions, the precision of the measurements, has to do with how good your data is and how precisely you can measure your data. This is why when Apophis was first discovered, there wasn't enough measurements, enough data to really totally know exactly where it was going. But since it looked like it was coming close to the Earth, we've taken a lot more measurements of its path. The asteroid should come within about 20,000 miles of the Earth, and that's pretty accurate. And as it gets closer, we'll get better data, better measurements, and we'll even be able to more precisely predict exactly where it's going to go.
What they've since found in the meantime is that this thing is about 300 meters wide, which is a pretty large object, that if it lands and hits the Earth, it's going to put an energy into the Earth of about 1,000 megatons. Just for scale, the entire nuclear arsenal of the world is about 10,000 megatons. So this would be a massive amount of energy, a massive explosion as it hits the Earth. But as they were able to find the object, they were able to go back and find some previous measurements earlier on, and they were able to get a more refined trajectory and show that this object, while it will come close to the Earth, I think it'll come about 19,000 miles away from the Earth, which is about 2.5 times the diameter of the Earth away. It's about 1/10 of the distance to the moon, so this is close in astronomical terms. But very far away from hitting the Earth, and so astronomers are not worried about Apophis hitting us anymore. But it will provide a great opportunity, because it's so close, to get some really good observations of an asteroid as it passes by the Earth in 2029.
NASA, of course, is the American Space Agency. It stands for National Aeronautics and Space Administration. It was originated as a response to the Soviet Union putting up the first satellite, Sputnik, in 1958. And NASA is responsible for both manned missions to space and also other missions to space, like the NEOWISE satellite. It's a satellite whose goal is to look for near-Earth objects. That's the NEO in NEOWISE. And that means things like asteroids or other objects that could come near the Earth and possibly interfere or hit the Earth. It's found thousands and thousands of these, and now we're able to track them and know exactly where they're going to go and if they pose any threat to the Earth.
So if we find an asteroid and we find that it's on a collision course with Earth, there is a process by which they categorize it, make sure they understand the amount of threat and not threats. It's either going to hit or not. There's threat levels, if you will.
I fear, like in the movie Greenland, government scientists are going to continue to downplay the prospect of a POFA striking Earth until it's obvious that it is in fact going to crash into this planet, and by then they will have plans in place to secret away government authorities and other elites into underground or in mountain bunkers for survival, unless they come up with a mitigation effort that deflects the space rock.
At this point in time, we don't have any way of mitigating the threat, but people are working on trying to do those sorts of mitigation techniques.
The way the data is done is we know that things in outer space are primarily influenced by the other large objects in outer space. The reason it's where it is it was primarily influenced by the gravity of Jupiter. And since we understand how gravity works, that helps us do the calculations. So we even know that when this asteroid gets near the Earth's gravity will perturb its orbit and it'll change it slightly so we can predict where it will come back to Earth in the distant future.
Recent concerns voiced by other experts stem from variations, they say, in the formula pi, which could mean a difference in the calculated trajectory of the soaring masses in space. If an asteroid or meteor in question is described with phrases such as skim past, when its orbit near Earth is referenced, small errors in calculation could equal big consequences for our planet.
Welcome back. We're in studio today with the producers of the highly anticipated new documentary, Ragnarok. But before we discuss the film, we want to show you how you can get your copy of this groundbreaking documentary right now.
There exists an ancient prophecy about a great burning mountain that falls from the sky, bringing devastation to the world. And the signs of its coming have now appeared. Skywatch TV is proud to present the Ragnarok Blockbuster Bundle. When you order Josh Peck's new documentary film, Ragnarok, Humanity's Last Stand, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive the never-before-seen exclusive DVD content, Ragnarok, Destruction Unveiled, and Ragnarok, Mountains of Judgment. In the new documentary film, Ragnarok, Humanity's Last Stand, visionary filmmaker Josh Peck takes you on a journey through the ancient prophecy from the Book of Revelation about a burning mountain that falls from the sky, bringing devastation to the world, and what scientists and NASA have to say about it. In this explosive documentary film, you will learn how the Wormwood Prophecy connects to our modern age, whether the coming asteroid Apophis could be the harbinger of destruction, the science, history, and prophecies surrounding asteroid impact, Dr. Thomas Horn's full end times vision of destruction, what NASA is saying about Apophis, and what we can do about this threat. You'll also receive the behind-the-scenes interview, Ragnarok, Destruction Unveiled, where Skywatch TV's own Drew Graffia sits down with visionary filmmaker Josh Peck to talk about his filmmaking process, what goes into a project of this magnitude, what his initial reaction to Dr. Thomas Horn's end times vision was, and what it is like to handle such apocalyptic material. But that's not all. We're also including the never-before-seen content entitled Ragnarok, Mountains of Judgment, where you will take a deep dive into the prophecy and science behind asteroids and how this relates to the coming space rock named after the Egyptian god of chaos, Apophis. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $75. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So uncover the prophecies of destruction and learn the mysteries of the last days. This collection is available only through Skywatch TV. so don't delay. The Ragnarok Blockbuster Bundle, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
The film is called Ragnarok, Humanity's Last Stand, and we are joined by the director, Josh Peck.
Thanks, Joe.
Producer Tom Horn.
Good to be here.
And SkyWatch TV's own Drew Graffia. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Joe.
Josh, I want to dive right in. You wrote, edited, and directed this film, and it's based on Tom's two books, The Wormwood Prophecy and The Messenger. Can you tell us why this topic is so important to you?
Ever since I was a child, I had a really deep interest in Bible prophecy. Okay. I had a bunch of Christian friends, but I was the one that had like the Revelation explained books, and I would carry those around all the time. Well, two of my favorite ones, the ones that were most interesting to me, was Revelation 9, The Locust, and then The Wormwood Prophecy. So fast forward years later, and I'm working here at Skywatch. Tom writes these books, The Wormwood Prophecy and The Messenger. And during our Stand 2020 conference, I filmed his presentation, which was based on The Wormwood Prophecy. That was the first time I heard it. And heard it from him, and I was blown away. I mean, it was like being a kid again. I mean, it's exciting. I mean, it's a dark topic, but it's still exciting because it's prophecy coming to life.
Right. If you're a believer in Bible prophecy, none of this should be frightening, but I understand what you mean. You're fascinated by the topic. Tom, something else the film covers, but we didn't get to see it in the clip that we just watched, is how small mathematical miscalculations can actually lead to disastrous consequences when you're dealing with stuff like the trajectory of something like an asteroid. Do you believe that NASA's calculations are incorrect concerning the arrival of Apophis, and why?
Well, I believe they very likely could be incorrect, and there are brighter minds than mine that are also saying that out there. For instance, there's a scientist, a mathematician by the name of Harry Lear, and he's actually put up online, he's created videos in which he is saying that the calculations that were used by NASA to determine the trajectory of the asteroid Apophis are off by as much as 600,000 miles. Now, when you add to the fact that these rocks are traveling through space, they are influenced by a lot of different things, the gravitational pull of large planetary bodies, things like that that can slightly change their trajectory over time. The other thing is that they can hit space debris. They can run into, they can nick other asteroids or whatever. And so their trajectories are always kind of slightly changing. And what Harry Lear did was he provided a corrected trajectory for Apophis, showing that in 7 years from now, Friday the 13th, April 2029, it's going to come crashing into planet Earth. And you're right, other astronomers have said if it does, it is a planet killer. Now, we feature Harry Lear in the film, giving some of his evidence. But again, he's not the only one. Top 100 scientist Nathan Myhrvold, he's a celebrated mind. He's constantly turning up in academic journals as one of the number one scientists in the world. And he wrote a paper called An Empirical Examination of Wise Neowise Asteroid Analysis and Results. Long title. You'd have thought Tom Horn wrote. That is the title of a book. In which he goes even further, saying that they are off in many of their calculations on incoming asteroids, Apophis being one of those. But he says something different than these other guys. He says it's not a mistake, it is intentional. He said they very much are cooking the books on the trajectory of some of these space threats that are being monitored by NEOWISE. Why would he say that? Well, again, the film goes into some of that. And by the way, we even were able to get an astronomer from CERN, the Large Hadron Collider, is featured in this documentary film. So the film is done very well. I think it is very authoritative, and it examines some of the people who believe that NASA is involved with the cover-up. One more, by the way, the famous astrophysicist Neil deGrasse. We actually have a clip from him in the film in which he says this, Apophis will come so close to Earth, he's talking about in 2029, it will dip below our orbiting communication satellites. Now, imagine that, right? When you can sit on Earth and look up into space and see our satellites, it's going to be lower than those satellites. It might knock out some of the satellites. He says it will be the largest, closest thing we have ever observed to come by Earth. The orbit we now have for it is uncertain. Now, he's one of the most famous astrophysicists in the world, and he says that calculation given by NASA is uncertain. Why? Because these things are hard to measure and hard to get an exact distance for, and we cannot tell you exactly what that trajectory will be. So imagine that, folks, that you have a rock that could wipe out planet Earth that is racing towards this planet that's going to be here in a very short period of time, and there are scientists who believe that it is far more likely than NASA is admitting that it could impact the Earth and be an basically an extinction level event.
Josh, with just a couple of minutes on the clock, you took a balanced approach in the beginning of the film by having two scientists, both Christian, by the way, who say that Apophis is not going to strike the Earth in 2029. Why did you decide to include their point of view as well?
So one of my styles for doing films is as much as possible try to get legitimate sides of the argument.
Sure.
You know, I don't want to waste time with sensational stuff. I want to get as balanced of an approach as we can. So you have two scientists who are Christian, they're astrophysicists, but they say in the movie that Apophis is not going to strike. Okay. But then we go into other scientists that Tom just mentioned that says that it will most likely strike.
Absolutely, right.
So you got to look at both sides of the story to see what's going on. And I personally, I'm convinced that there's a good chance this is actually going to happen.
Tom, a minute ago, you mentioned briefly something about a NASA cover-up. Is that something you believe is actually happening right
now?
Yeah,
and again, people are going to learn a lot more when they watch the documentary film about the evidence and why I believe that to be true. There's a personal friend of this ministry, and I can't even tell you where he works.
I understand.
But he works with, you know, outer space stuff for the U.S. government. It's about all I can say. And at first, when I wrote the books, he was in those books arguing why NASA is, in essence, trying to cover up the real potential for Apophis to strike planet Earth. And then he was warned, and he came to a conference where I was at, and he said, hey, the officials, the upper uppity, they pulled me in, and they said, you will not have your retirement. You're going to lose your job. You might even be sued. You better retract everything that you were telling Tom Horn for the books, as we are not going to tolerate people speaking out in this way. And by the way, I don't doubt the sincerity of the two astronomers that are in our film, but they are taking NASA's official line, which is being refuted by other people. So, again, there are pressures. When you work inside these agencies for the government, you have to be guarded on what you're saying. If you want to see the scenario, watch the movie Greenland, where the government keeps saying, no, it's not going to strike the Earth. It's not going to strike the Earth. Oh, wait a minute. It's going to strike the Earth. Run for your life.
I also want to make very quick mention, in addition to the Ragnarok DVD, there's also a couple of other DVDs in this package that we're offering. Drew, tell us a little bit about the bonus content.
So with this package, we have completely exclusive content. Now, the first one we have is called Ragnarok Mountains of Judgment. Now, because when you make a film, you go into such depth gathering the materials, there's a lot left over. So we take a lot of the asteroid and prophetic material and put it into this DVD. It's all exclusive material. And then for our next DVD, Ragnarok Destruction Unveiled, I actually sit down with Josh Peck and we talk about what goes into making a movie like this and also what it's like to deal with this material. So he's going to talk about that. It's a behind-the-scenes look. And again, these are both exclusive, so that it's very exciting content.
Unfortunately, gentlemen, we're totally out of time for this week, but folks, don't go anywhere. We're going to continue this discussion next week. I'm Joe Artis Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.